Okay, so first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about obesity prevention. So we don't really like sitting in obesity prevention, and we do a whole lot of sitting here amongst sort of switching back and forth rooms and traveling half miles at each clip. So at any point in this presentation, please feel free to get up, stretch your legs, move around a little bit. I don't know about you, but I'm freezing, so a little bit of movement might help with that too. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to set the frame a little bit before we get jazzed and rolling here. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about what we accomplished and what we learned from the second iteration of a pilot project that the New Jersey Department of Health sort of put together, thought about, administered, and is looking at now to expand. So this project was designed really to help low-income, high-risk communities implement policy and environmental changes around obesity prevention. So in English, that means, hey, what can we do about putting farmers markets and affordable food and sidewalks and bike lanes in the community? Now, the Department of Health developed this program by looking at different models around the country. We looked at some lessons learned from other initiatives that we funded, and we also have a very vast partner network in New Jersey under the name of Shaping NJ. And so we heard a lot about this kind of work and what communities need and what we should look at from our partners. Our program team was fantastic, and so as part of that team, we have our prevention specialist from the Department of Health, we had an external evaluator, and then we had the DOH evaluator, that's me, and so this team really worked very closely to make sure our evaluation efforts matched the stage of the program development. So this is a pilot, so our evaluation is not research, it is not an impact evaluation, it is very developmental, and what we really wanted to see was, did we meet our goals in this project? What are the kinks we need to work out before we invest in this and take it to scale across New Jersey so that we can actually do good work and not mess up all the time? So with that said, hopefully you've got a little bit of frame of where we're going to go with that. And because I am only one part of this team, we have two of our team members here today that are going to give you more of the juicy details about what we actually did. And so to start with, we have our prevention specialist, Janet Haru, who I work with closely at the Department of Health. And then we also have Rebecca Swan Jackson, who was our evaluation contractor, and she is at the Center for Research and Evaluation for Education and Human Services at Montclair State University. So, onward and upward.
So let me see if I know how to do this. One of those gray hairs who has a hard time with any kind of technology. It's just this bar?
Yep.
So, Erin Bunger, Janet Haru, that's me, and Rebecca Swan Jackson. None of us have any relationships to disclose. So, New Jersey does have its problems. We are a wealthy state, and the results of yesterday's election ensure that similar problems will continue. We were able to award 18 small-scale grants with some leftover funds that we scraped together. It was actually leftover salary money, believe it or not, to New Jersey communities there was a range of communities, but most of them were really very, very high-risk, low-income areas. The grantees, I'm the program person, so I'm just going to give you a little bit, I'm just framing the program perspective, and then Rebecca will give you the results. Not a lot of money in New Jersey. Public health is such a poor stepsister. Anytime we get any money, we really want to get it out to the field. We are very eager to make inroads into obesity prevention, so every little bit helps. So these grantees, who are mostly local health departments and local YMCAs, had 6 months, because the money was only good for 6 months, to implement one nutrition and one physical activity strategy from a list of options. And these options came from the policy and environmental change strategies that we had developed under Shaping NJ, which was our New Jersey's public-private partnership to prevent obesity. It was funded under the CDC Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Grant, if any of you are from that field. These strategies were actually developed with a large statewide groups of experts, and then we took them out to the field and presented them to 10 different, you know, community groups. So they were informed by community groups, although we really did use evidence-based strategies from sources like the Institute of Medicine. Our goal was to try to get some change in these communities. We along with these little grants that were averaged about $7,500 to $10,000, we also provided a package of technical assistance to help them maximize their local impact, and above all, to try to develop a peer learning network. Our hope was, you know, New Jersey is a geographically small state, and we were hoping that these communities would develop a network to learn from each other. One of the important things that we added to this package of technical assistance was training and technical assistance in using social media. We hoped, again, we wanted to try to maximize these itty-bitty grants that were really trying to address huge challenges. We contracted with someone under 30 to provide social media training and technical assistance. We used the social media for three purposes, and it dawned on us sort of in there that we should have really thought about a fourth purpose. And in our next round, we will do that. So we actually created a project blog. Instead of having all these grantees submit reports, we had them blog their results so that we didn't have to plague them with reports, and so they could share the findings and boast a bit. And we tried to create a culture where they weren't afraid to admit to challenges. We wanted to build their social media skills, obviously, for obvious reasons. We wanted them to communicate. It was part of our learning network. And then some of them started using these blogs to communicate not amongst each other and to us, but also try to project the communication out to the communities. And it dawned on us that this is something really very, very important. We're trying to develop these local coalitions to sustain the kind of actions that will need to create healthier communities. So for the evaluation, I was very lucky. My evaluator allowed me to have a lot of input in the evaluation, and I really wanted to know, knowing that, you know, we just get dribs and drabs of money to really go to the highest risk communities. I wanted to know, was it even worth getting a fairly small of money out to the field, and could they do anything in 6 months? Also given the challenges, and did our technical assistance really make a difference and increase impact? So with that, I want to introduce our wonderful evaluator who will tell you about the evaluation. Rebecca is from Montclair State University, the Center for Research and Evaluation in Education and Human Services, and did a great job.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the evaluation and what our results were. We had a mixed methods design, and you can see that here. We did a survey with all of our grantees. We did phone interviews with them as well as their community partners. We did document review, and we did social media monitoring. So the social media part of this evaluation focused on three websites, and that was WordPress. Each grantee was required to submit 5 blogs over the 6-month period. They were also asked to be part of Facebook and Twitter. Shaping NJ had a presence there already, and all of the grantees were invited to be a part of that, but their contributions were not required. So we had some interesting findings from this 6-month project. 18 grantees made progress in changing the policies and environments in their communities. 44%, which is 8 grantees, actually changed a policy with regard to food and nutrition access or physical activity access. These were policies primarily made regarding school and community gardens, healthy food options, and wellness policies. Most of the work that we saw come to fruition had to do with relationships that were built between schools or school districts or local churches. Some of the grantees implemented wellness policies at their church. This photo is actually of Pastor Lucy in Trenton, who was working on developing a template of a food wellness policy that other churches can use to develop for their own congregations. 80% of the grantees reported progress toward or achievement of policy change in food and nutrition access. So this happened with creating nutrition and education programs, expanding school breakfast policies, carrying out healthy food campaigns at bodegas and in corner stores. And related to physical activity access, there were policies to provide time for physical activity during work, programs that supported walking more, and including doing walking assessments of streets and working with the city municipal departments to rectify sidewalk conditions, and church wellness policies that include physical activity breaks, so points that within the service where they would stretch or they would walk around the building or they would do some other kind of walking up and down the stairs activities. So 78% of our grantees indicated that they improved the food environment. Some of this I talked about a little bit already. They created school and community gardens. One community implemented a vending machine overhaul, so they had stoplight labels where it was go, slow, or whoa, and it was labeled on the different packages so that children and adults could decide and be informed about what they were choosing to put in their body. 69% of our grantees improved their physical activity environment. This included providing neighborhood play streets, adding bike racks around their towns, making streets safer for walking, beautifying vacant lots. For those of you that may not be familiar with play streets, this is often happens in an urban environment where they close down a street at the center of town for a weekend, and they put in fitness equipment. So there's a rock climbing wall or playground equipment or a basketball court. In the case of our grantees, one of them worked with the local soccer team, and they did trainings, and they closed the street and had goals set up on either end for the kids to play. One of the other things that we found with our evaluation is that relationship building was identified as a key outcome of this. Many of them formed new working relationships with partners or expanded relationships with individuals that they had a previous connection to. And we felt like that was really an important step for them being able to do the work in only 6 months of time. Related to that, grantees reported that they are working more efficiently with their partners. It broadened their collective knowledge and awareness of similar projects happening in their community. Shared agendas were initiated, and tangible resources such as space, donations, volunteers were brought in from the partner organizations. So with regard to the social media piece, and we do have a WordPress blog where you can see all of the blogs that were posted, but in total, 87 blogs were posted. We're expecting 90. And we had over 3,000 views on the blog. A little more than half, actually met the blogging requirement. Some went above and beyond and posted up to 9 or 10 blogs throughout the 6 months. And of those who did not meet the requirement, they indicated that most of them did not report anything because they experienced some challenges. So going forward in our next round of grants, we want to encourage them to even report about those challenges in their blog so that they can get up to the number that we expected. on Facebook, there were about 360 likes to the Shaping NJ page, 239 status updates over the 6-month period. We also had a lot of shares. There were 48 of those. I won't get into the specific number of comments, but they did develop a good social media presence in Facebook over this short term of the project. On Twitter, we had less of a presence. Some of what we heard from grantees was that Twitter was a little bit more difficult for them to use, and they didn't find it as useful. But we did have 27 tweets and 46 retweets and 19 tweets retweeted, which I think the previous presentation gives us a little more information about what that means. So part of the Shaping NJ project was this technical assistance package. So grantees all participated in in-person meetings. They got impromptu assistance from Aaron and Janet and their team at the State Health Department, as well as our social media consultant. They participated in social media training, and a majority of them found that all of these things were very effective. To a lesser extent, the conference calls that we held monthly with the grantees were not as effective, but what we heard from the evaluation and doing interviews with them is that they didn't like having to report out about what they were doing. They felt like the calls were taking too long. There was a part of the conference calls that did provide professional development, and the ratings on that part were very high. So going forward, we know that we want to change the way we do conference calls with participants. And I will bring it back to Janet.
So thank you, Rebecca. So as the program manager for these grants, you can imagine that this was music to my ears. We actually did accomplish something, so never be discouraged by lack of funds. You can still really get out to the folks in your community that really need the resources, and they really do teach each other if you give them the opportunity. You've seen this in the literature. We know what the keys to success are, and we knew it beforehand. We tried to foster it, and it was confirmed. We really, going in quick and dirty as it was, we encouraged them to build partners. It really helped if they had these partnerships before they started the project. It turns out that even in 6 months, cross-learning can occur. We were able to create some kind of learning network. The wonderful thing is that we've scraped together more money for a third round, and we're going to renew these sites. These are really, again, a lot of the highest-risk cities in New Jersey, so we're going to renew these itty-bitty grants, and I think we can deepen the learning network. Obviously, it's always ideal if you can get a mayor on board or a head of a department. That can be serendipitous, but you know, you use any opportunity you can when trying to create healthy communities to get the political and encourage the folks on the ground to invite their mayor to things, and it can make a huge difference. They liked the deadlines. They didn't mind being required to post 5 blogs. That helped. The bottom line is that we actually were able to do something. We, based on what we learned from the evaluation, obviously we will be customizing technical assistance. And we're going to have to hire again. Dan moved on to the private sector. Our wonderful social media consultant. We're going to have to find someone who really can really beef up the social media component of the project and take full advantage of that. And the worst thing is we have to read the blog for this project, we at the health department, on our iPhones or at home at night. If you're out there in a state health department and have any power over this, please figure out how you're going to get social media on. So in conclusion, small steps really can make a difference, and they, in New Jersey, they are adding up over time. Thanks.
Any questions?
I think we don't really know where they were coming from, but I will say that when Dan Fatone, who was our social media consultant, conceived of the blog and did the training with our grantees, he encouraged them to have photos, to put tags on them, so if there was anyone that was searching for a community and had anything to do with physical activity or food and nutrition, those things would come up. We know from the Shaping NJ Facebook and Twitter sites that in addition to the communities, we were getting a lot of attention from other partners, other foundations, New Jersey YMCA Alliance, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and people were retweeting and resharing things that Shaping NJ had posted, which sometimes they were links to the blog. So some of that could have come from links through Facebook or Twitter, but we're not sure, and we haven't really looked into whether or not that's something we can figure out. Right. So some, and best example, I guess, is recently, within the last month or two, we've had two grantees post. I mean, this project ended in June, end of June. So they're still reporting on their progress and talking about new relationships they've built within their town or in their community and how things are going and what else they're doing now. So even without funding, they're sustaining reporting on those events.
Between do I go on as an organization or do I go on as an individual? And so there's that privacy component that happened there. So that's something we're still working through. But then to the second point about this advocacy issue, at least our standpoint at the health department is that certain agencies or independent offices are on Facebook or they're on Twitter. And our strategy has been to keep it slightly under the radar and not make a big deal about it, because our sort of motto is it's easier to ask for forgiveness or easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And so in our experience, that has been successful. I mean, my boss isn't here, but she would probably concur, the boss, maybe not. But I think for us, it really has been do what you can with what you have and build that grassroots first, because once it takes off and it starts to actually make a difference, it's harder to shut it down. It's not the best, but it's how we've been operating, and I mean, I can tell you, I tweet and I do Facebook and, you know, I've been reposting their blogs, and it's all from sitting at my desk on my phone. So if someone walks past, they think I'm playing my phone all day. Oh, well, that's okay, too. So, I mean, we just try and make the best of what we can and hope that once the momentum goes that it'll pick up.
And I want to make a follow-up comment. You're an RWJF-funded program, you say?
Yeah.
Could it be your role to become an advocacy group? Because I'm a former program officer with RWJF, and they are actually the perfect organization with respect to supporting advocacy for something like this. And if you talk to them, I'll talk to them too. Because it's silly. I mean, this is the problem with the fluoridation. I mean, we go back to Mr. Mertz's comment. We're powerless. This is low resource. If we just have access to the technology and the savvy, we can fight back.
Go ahead. Thank you. So if no one has any other questions for any of our presenters, I just want to remind you that if you'd like to become a member of the CHPPD section, there are sign-up sheets in the back, or if you would like to volunteer for the section, you can also use the sign-in sheets. Thank you.